Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to start by asking you all a question this morning. It's an important question. Have you ever faced a situation where you knew something had to be done, but you weren't sure if you had the strength or the courage to do it? Have you ever been there? Maybe it was a time when you saw someone in need and you felt that tug inside to help, but you weren't sure if you were the person for the job. Maybe it was something you knew God was calling you to do, but you didn't feel qualified or ready. I'm sure that there are people in this room that God is calling to something because I see the calling. But you don't feel qualified or ready, so you're not answering that call. And so faith sometimes works like that. It's like being in a room where the power is all hooked up, but it's still dark until you flip the switch. Faith doesn't just sit back passively, it moves us into action. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "Being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will." Faith takes that step forward, trusting that God will meet us there, even when we don't know the full outcome. Today, we're going to take a look at what it means to have a living faith, a faith that acts, that transforms, and that carries us through the moments when we're filled with doubt. Ever been there? Our scriptures call us to examine how our faith is not just what we believe, but how that belief takes shape in our actions, in our relationships, and in the way we respond to God's call. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you meet us always exactly where we're at. And so, Lord, we pray that you would meet us all this morning exactly where we're at. Meet us at the point of our need. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak your word, your divine word, into that very place and speak exactly the word that we need to move us forward in faith, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's talk about the suffering servant from our passage from Isaiah 50. This figure, right, is a messianic figure, right? It's a portrait of Jesus, and it speaks of a deep relationship with God, listening to God's words, and then speaking them with boldness, even when facing opposition. Right? It's not just a portrait of Jesus, it's a portrait of an individual that we want to emulate. Listen to the servant's words in verse 7. He says, "The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced, therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame." And this is a passage, this idea, this notion of setting your face like flint is a passage that the New Testament will quote about Jesus when he was going to the cross. It says that Jesus set his face like flint toward Jerusalem. And sometimes we're going to have to set our face like flint toward a destination. We're going to have to set our face like flint and move towards something, okay? It paints a picture of determination. That's what setting your face like flint means. Determination and unwavering trust. The servant isn't just asking for an easy path, but for strength to stay the course in the face of adversity. That's what he's asking for. And this is where we learn an important lesson about faith. It's not passive. Faith is never passive. You know, a lot of people think that faith is just about sitting around. I'm exercising faith. You know, I'm just trusting the Lord for a job. Sitting here waiting for the phone to ring. Well, you applied for a job? No. Just sitting here waiting for somebody to call me, offer me a job. Well, have you sent out some resumes? No. That's not how it works. It's not something that just exists quietly in the background. Faith, as we see in Isaiah, is active. It endures, it speaks, and it trusts in God, even when circumstances are difficult. C.S. Lewis once said, faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. Faith pushes us to hold on even when everything around us feels uncertain. Reminds me of the story of Joni Erickson Tada. Anybody know her? Joni became a quadriplegic after a diving accident as a teenager. And her life has been marked by immense physical suffering. And yet her faith shines through in everything that she does. Joni has said, faith isn't the ability to believe long and far into the misty future. It's simply taking God at his word and taking the next step. It's simply taking God at his word and taking the next step. Even in her suffering, Joni has set her face like flint, trusting that God will guide her through each challenge, and she has used her story to inspire millions of people around the world. Joni Erickson Tada. Like the suffering servant in Isaiah, our faith is not just about belief. It's about actively trusting God, setting our faces like flint, and moving forward, even when we face trials. So, moving on to James chapter 2. Boy, that James. That's a powerful word, isn't it? Frankly, it's a challenging passage, isn't it? I mean, he doesn't mince words, does he? He tells us plainly, faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Dead as a doornail. DOA, dead on arrival. And that's a pretty strong statement. Do you think? James is warning us against a faith that is all talk and no action. Your faith, true faith, he says, must lead to good works. It must produce fruit. Martin Luther, you know, he had some small opinions about the book of James. And those of you who know a little bit about theology will understand the joke there. He actually said at one point that he tore it out of his Bible. But he felt that it did not mesh nicely with his idea that salvation was sola fide, based solely on salvation by grace through faith and not of works that any man should boast. He felt that James emphasized the idea of works just a little bit too much. But even though he had his struggles with this passage, Martin Luther famously said, "We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone." The faith that saves is never alone. Luther understood that faith is the foundation of our salvation, but that a true living faith will naturally lead us to action. Otherwise, you're just a dud spud. You're a pew potato. You are a bench warmer. You're coming to church and you are warming a pew and you're just, you know, doing your thing on a Sunday morning, going home, and that's it. But there is no fruit. If we have faith, it has to. It must show up in the way that we live, the way that we treat others, and the way that we act on what we believe. James challenges the early church about their treatment of the poor. He warns them not to show favoritism to the rich while neglecting the needy. He's saying that real faith isn't just about what we believe, it's about what we do. Do we serve the poor? Do we stand up for the marginalized? Do we love our neighbors as ourselves? You know, for the next 30 days, we're going to be doing pray and go. Why? Do we care that if they don't know Jesus, they might spend a Christless eternity in hell? Do we? One of the best examples of this comes from the life of William Wilberforce. Wilberforce was a British politician whose deep Christian faith led him to spend his life fighting for the abolition of the slave trade. He once said, "You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know." You may choose to look the other way, but you can never again say that you didn't know. His faith didn't just reside in his heart. It moved him to take action against one of the greatest injustices of his time. And because of his tireless efforts, slavery was eventually abolished in Britain. Wilberforce's faith was alive and active, and it showed itself in his relentless pursuit of justice. In the same way, James challenges us today, where is our faith leading us? Where is it taking us? Are we living out the love of Christ in practical ways? Are we caring for those who need it most? A faith that's alive will always move us toward action. I also think about Mother Teresa, whose faith led her to spend her life serving the poorest of the poor. She didn't just believe in Christ's love, she lived it. Mother Teresa once said, "Faith in action is love, and love in action is service." Every act of kindness, every time she cared for the sick or the dying, was a demonstration of her faith in God. It wasn't about grand gestures. It was about small acts of love done consistently with a heart full of faith. So I ask you today, how is your faith moving you? Where is it leading you to take action? Where? So now we come to the final part of our journey this morning, the story of the desperate father from Mark 9. His son is suffering from what seems like epilepsy, and this father is at his wit's end, as any parent would be. He brings the boy to Jesus' disciples, but they can't heal him. Then he turns to Jesus. "If you can do anything, please have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus responds, "If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes." And the father's reply is both beautiful and heartwarming. "I believe, help my unbelief." I mean, have you ever found yourself there? I have. "I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, I want to believe, I'm mostly there, God. As a matter of fact, anybody who's familiar with the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous knows that the second step is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Why is that the second step? Came to believe. It seems like such an odd way of came to believe, came to believe. And it's this idea that you got to crack the door open. It's opening the door to belief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I'm standing somewhere between doubt and belief. I want to believe, but I don't know. Help me. And sometimes people just need that little push to tip them over. And so that's what I love about this passage. I mean, it's so real. We've all been here. We've all been here. No matter how long we've been walking with the Lord, sometimes, you know, we find ourselves in a situation that ramps up. You know, it's like you've leveled up in a video game, right? All of a sudden, you find yourself at a new level of testing of your faith. Excuse me. And it's like, man, my faith is being tested at a new level. And it's like, you know, you're fighting the new boss, the new faith boss. You know, I don't know. Some people in here don't know what I'm talking about as far as video games. But, you know, you're fighting the new boss at the end of the level. And it's like, man, I don't know if I can beat this boss. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. This father isn't pretending that his faith is perfect. He's not pretending that he doesn't have doubts. He's bringing those doubts to Jesus, and he's just asking for help. He's coming, you know, just as I am. Here I am. This is where I'm at. And Jesus does not reject him. Jesus does not say, you know, you go away and don't you come back until you believe 100% correctly. And that's what faith is often like. It's not about never doubting. It's about continuing to trust God even when we've got questions, even when we're not sure how things are going to turn out. Timothy Keller said it so well. He said, faith is not the absence of thinking. It is the will to keep thinking even when the doubts persist. It's not the absence of thinking. It's the will to keep thinking even when the doubts persist. Doubt is a part of the human experience. It doesn't mean that we don't have faith. It means that we're human. And just like the father in this story, we can bring our doubts to God. He can handle it. He's big enough. And we can ask him to help us believe even when we're struggling. C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest Christian thinkers of the 20th century, experienced deep doubt after the death of his wife, Joy. In his book, A Grief Observed, he writes honestly about his struggle with faith in the face of suffering. He wrestled with the question of why God would allow such deep pain. Yet even in the midst of his doubt, Lewis didn't let go of God. He famously said, "When I lay these questions before God, I get no answer, but a rather special sort of no answer. It is not the locked door. It is more like a silent, certainly not uncompassionate gaze." That was Lewis's experience. Lewis's faith didn't mean having all the answers. It meant continuing to trust, even when the answers didn't come. So where does this leave us today? And trust me, I don't have all the answers. I've got my list of questions for when I get to heaven. So where does this leave us today? Faith is not static. It's alive, it's active, and sometimes it wrestles with doubt. But the good news is that God meets us right where we are. He takes our small, imperfect faith and he uses it to do incredible things. As St. Augustine said, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. This week, I challenge you to reflect on how your faith can move you into action. That's my challenge to you this week. Maybe it's reaching out to someone in need. Maybe it's stepping out in faith to do something that you've been putting off because you weren't sure that you were ready. Maybe there's a ministry that God's been calling you to at this very church. And you've been like, nah, that can't be God. Little old me? Yeah, little old you. Let me tell you something, personal story here. It's not in my notes. I'm going to take a break and walk away from the pulpit. I can't tell you how many years I pulled a Jonah and ran away from the ministry because I didn't think God had a calling on my life. I really didn't. I was so broken. And I didn't have enough faith to respond. And I didn't know how. But for the love of God, this world needs you. So if you are not answering God's call because you have doubts, because you have fears, because you're not certain that it's really God, step out in faith. You'll find out. I have been affirmed in my calling. And I have some regrets now because I could have been doing this a lot longer than I have. But I ran and hid for a long time. Because I didn't have enough faith. So, answer the call. But maybe it's just simply trusting God with a situation that's been weighing heavily on your heart. Like the father in Mark 9 saying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Maybe you've got something like that going on. As we go into this week, let's remember that faith is more than just a belief. It's an invitation to participate in the work that God is doing in the world. God invites us to step out in faith, trusting that he will equip us for whatever he's called us to do. He doesn't require perfect faith. He simply asks that we take the next step, trusting him along the way. And so let me close with the words of C.S. Lewis. You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death. Did you get that? You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death. Faith becomes real when we step into it, when we live it out, when we trust that God is at work, even when we don't have all the answers. So this week, let's set our faces like flint, like the suffering servant in Isaiah, trusting that God is with us. Let's allow our faith to move us into action, as James teaches us, so that it is alive and visible in our lives. And let's bring our doubts to God, just as the Father in Mark 9 did, trusting that even in our moments of uncertainty, God's compassion and power are more than enough. Go forth this week with a living, active faith, and may God guide you, strengthen you, and use you to be a light in the world around you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.